Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Serial Corner View on this special Sunday edition of the Serial Corner View on this 21st of December 2014. I hope you enjoyed your NFL Sunday. Still one last game left before the Sunday night game. Buffalo being shocked by the Oakland Raiders, 26-17, two-minute warning. Looks like the Raiders are going to upset the Bills, and boy, you know, the Bills had, you know, their playoff hopes were, you know, they were limited as it was. A lot of things had to happen in order for them to make the playoffs. Boy, if you lose to the Oakland Raiders, geez, you get eliminated by the Oakland Raiders. Certainly not a good look if you're a Buffalo Bills fan. But right now, it's looking like the Oakland Raiders are going to take out the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo has the ball now. Buffalo has the ball now. Under 2 minutes, second and 12. Buffalo, listen, all you have to do is Buffalo. You have to score and get an offside kick. And look, Buffalo just came up with a big play. Fred Jackson from Kyle Orton. So Buffalo scores real quick. They're out of timeout, so they had to recover an offside kick and then hopefully and try to kick a field goal to win the game. So still some life if you're a Buffalo Bills fan in order to make the playoffs. Certainly did not expect this game to go the way it's gone, for the Buffalo Bills. But listen, give the Raiders credit. The Raiders down the stretch have played some pretty good football. Of course, they beat Kansas City in that Thursday night game. They took out San Francisco a couple weeks ago, and now they are going, looks like they're going to upset the Buffalo Bills. 127 left, fourth quarter, last game before the Sunday night game. So, Week 16, you have Pittsburgh in by virtue of their win over the Kansas City Chiefs. You have Green Bay in by virtue of their win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the New England Patriots have clinched a first-round bye. Also, Detroit clinches a playoff berth. They will meet Green Bay for the right for a possible first-round bye, and also the NFC North title next week at Lambeau Field. Of course, they'll be looking for the sweep of the Packers. Dallas, in an emphatic statement, clinches the NFC East by virtue of their win over the Indianapolis Colts, 42-7, and also by virtue of the Eagles' loss to the Washington Redskins yesterday evening. At FedEx Field. So playoff pitches starting to come into form. When you look back at, what transpired this week or this Sunday, there are a couple of things. There's three things. Number one, I'm looking at quarterbacks without their weapons. You have Brady struggle mightily, as Buffalo has just scored, by the way. To Robert Woods, touchdown to Robert Woods from Kyle Orton. Now they'll, kick a and we'll stick with this game until it ends. Orton to Robert Woods. So they'll kick extra point, make it 26-24. And then go for the onside kick to see if they can recover it and drive for a game-winning field goal. Buffalo, again, with a loss, they're out the playoff picture. With a win, they would still be in the mix for the playoffs, though they would need some help from a couple of teams, San Diego and also the Baltimore Ravens as well. So, but still. Still has some life here. 26-23. They'll kick the extra point and then go for the onside kick. with 109 left. And all Oakland has to do is recover the onside kick, and the game is over. But you look at these teams, you look at quarterbacks throughout their weapons. Julian Edelman, of course, was inactive today, didn't play. And you figure, you know what, New England will pop in somebody else, a receiver that we probably never heard of. He'll go, you know, he'll have 80 yards and have two touchdowns. That's what New England does. They get guys that we basically have never heard of or who haven't played over the course of the season, and they come up big when another guy gets injured or they decide to cut a guy. Not the case. Listen, Gronkowski, outside Tom Brady, is probably the most valuable player on that offense without question, one of the most valuable players in all of football. That's how much he means to that offense. But they missed Julian Edelman. Yeah, Tom Brady missed Edelman today. There's no two ways about it. You know, quarterbacks make receivers. Great quarterbacks make receivers. They can make an average receiver good, a good receiver great. But when you take away a weapon from a quarterback, I don't care how good he is, he's going to feel it. And you saw it in particular in two places today. You saw it in with New England struggling against the Jets to put up points, only putting up 17 points, and you saw it with Indianapolis and Dallas. Now, Dallas could have won that game. Of course, you had no T.Y. Hilton for Indianapolis. Now, if T.Y. Hilton plays, does Dallas not win that game? I'm not going to go this far. I mean, it was a pretty dominant performance by the Cowboys. 42-7 is 42-7. But you take away T.Y., nobody, and luck is tremendous. I mean, you take T.Y. Hilton away, I mean, you can't replace that guy. I mean, and they have good weapons. I mean, they have two good tight ends. Moncrief is going to be a good player, young player, rookie. Hicks, decent. Wayne, at the end of the rope, but still can be a threat. But there's no replacing a T.Y. Hilton. So that was one of my takes from today. The other one was, you could never underestimate a rivalry. And we saw this yesterday with the Redskins and Eagles. We saw it with the Jets, Buffalo. We saw it with Chicago and Detroit. All three games close. Redskins and we'll pause here. We had the onside kick with the Raiders and Buffalo. No, didn't get enough on it. Probably were onside, offside. Raiders are going to win that game. So all they have to do now is take a knee, and that'll be all she wrote. So Raiders are going to win that game. Buffalo is going to be out the playoff picture. Again, they had very slim playoff hopes to begin with, but, you know, Buffalo has a great defense and, you know, see if they can get a quarterback for the offseason. But you look at the Jets, New England, you look at Washington, Philadelphia, and then you look at what happened with Detroit, Chicago. Chicago, Washington, and New England and the Jets are three of the worst teams in football right now, three of the worst franchises in all of football. Easily. But yet, they were able to push, you know, superior teams to the limit. In the case of the Redskins, you know, they beat the Eagles, 27-24. You know, this time of year, you can never underestimate a rivalry. You can never underestimate, especially a rivalry within a division playing on the road. I mean, it is tough to win December road games on the road in a division. I mean, that's all there is to it. I mean, Chicago's playing out there with Jimmy Clausen, no Brandon Marshall, they bench Jay Cutler. Detroit comes in, and Detroit barely, but by the skin of their teeth, win that game. By the skin of their teeth, as Oakland runs out the clock on the Buffalo Bills. The third thing I take from today, and even from yesterday, is the Oakland Raiders. Now, Raiders right now are playing good football. And you say, well, why is this a big deal considering that they are, they have two wins on the season, or three wins to beat San Francisco. Well, three wins on the season. It's a big deal because Jim Harbaugh could be the next coach of the Oakland Raiders. And to be honest with you, looking at the Raiders in the past couple of weeks, they're not that far away. I mean, they're really not. There's some talent on that team. You get in a competent coach like Harbaugh, he gets a couple free agent signings, a couple of draft picks. They could be in a playoff hunt next year. I mean, that's all there's to it. They could literally be in a playoff hunt next year. So those are my three takes away from this week 16. Of course, Denver, Cincinnati coming up. Denver, Cincinnati will be on Monday night. Arizona, Seattle later on. And so you'll still have two more games left for week 16. When we return, what happened today, we'll look forward to tonight's games, and also what did today do for the NFL playoff picture and, most importantly, the NFL Super Bowl picture. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back. On this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review, as we discuss the world of sports, NFL heavy without question. A couple teams eliminated, a couple teams that had big hopes for this year coming into this year, the New Orleans Saints and the Philadelphia Eagles. Wasn't it just Thanksgiving that the Eagles were 9-3 coming off a beating? Coming off a big time win against the Dallas Cowboys at Jerry's place, and now 3 weeks later they are on the outside looking in. I mean, it's amazing how quickly things can change in the NFL. And again, I never was big on Philadelphia. They don't have a quarterback. I mean, you know, Foles. It didn't matter whether it's Foles, Sanchez, they just don't have a quarterback. But it fell apart pretty quickly for the Eagles. And again, if you cannot beat the Washington Redskins to stay alive in the playoffs, then you don't deserve to make the playoffs. That's all there is to it. Eagles win. Had the Eagles won, they would have put themselves in a position where a win over Dallas they would have been at least still alive for a playoff hunt, for the playoffs, depending on what would have transpired with Dallas and Washington. Now, it's a moot point. Again, I don't know what the Eagles are going to do from moving forward. With that quarterback situation, they just don't have a quarterback right now. I mean, like I said, Foles is okay. Sanchez is a backup. Foles is a average starter, maybe a slightly above average starter, but he's not a guy that could take you to a Super Bowl. So, again, very interesting offseason for the Eagles. We know they have talent on both sides of the ball, but that quarterback situation, has a little question mark, has a question mark by it, without question. As far as the Saints goes, I just, I don't know. Maybe it's time for the Saints to move in another direction as far as their personnel goes. Meet those guys like Colston, Graham, some of the other guys, Pierre Thomas, have been together for a while now. I just think you could be with the same people for so long that, I mean, I know continuity is everything, but they need to upgrade their offensive personnel. I mean, Jimmy Graham is still thinking play at a high level, but clearly that offense was not what the same offense that we've been accustomed to seeing over the course of the years. Their defense was awful this year. Don't understand how that could be the case, considering how much money they spent on defense in the offseason. But, again, a very disappointing year. The Saints are one of the biggest disappointments of the season, without question. I mean, for the talent that they have, you know, they have a great quarterback. I mean, I still think Breeze can play that. I don't think Breeze is done by any stretch of the imagination. But those two teams, again, two NFC teams that had very, very high hopes, now find their way out of the playoffs, find themselves out of the playoffs, and be watching the rest of the NFL come January. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Of course, again, two games remain. Arizona, Seattle. Arizona will be hosting Seattle, and of course, Denver and Cincinnati tomorrow night. Denver still in the mix for home field against home field. If Denver wins out and New England loses next week, Denver will have home field advantage. All New England has to do is a Denver loss will give New England home field advantage throughout the playoffs. You saw last night, and this team was eliminated in playoffs last week. But in regards to the Jim Harbaugh situation in San Francisco, as San Francisco dropped another game and has a chance to finish with their first losing season in the Harbaugh era if they don't win next week. But I'm looking at that team. I'm looking at Jim Harbaugh. And, you know, San Francisco, when you fire somebody or push somebody out of the door because of a personal issue, not what's going on the field, but because of a personal issue, there's an organizational problem with San Francisco. Now, listen, everybody knows Jim Harbaugh is not the easiest. We've heard those rumblings wherever he's been, in terms of him, he could just push buttons to, you know, that can drive people crazy. He's not, you know, he doesn't get paid to make friends. You are a football coach in the NFL, you're paid for wins and losses, point blank. And that guy, wherever he goes, that guy is going to win. I mean, that's all there is to it. He's going to win football games wherever he goes. Now, to me, if you're San Francisco, you have to get something for him. You don't just flat out fire him and get nothing for him. I mean, San Francisco would be foolish not to try to trade for him and get a draft pick, and or even forget about first round. Even if it's a second and third round pick, you have to get compensation for Jim Harbaugh. And I'll say this: great coaches, big time coaches, don't grow on trees in the NFL. They really don't. And you know, if I'm John York, the owner of the York family, I'm taking Harbaugh in the room with Trent Baalke and saying, we need to fix this. We need to fix this. I just can't lose a coach based on personality conflict. I'm sorry, who is a big-time coach? And there's still talent with that San Francisco team. Colin Kaepernick can still be fixed. And they need to upgrade the wide receiver position. You know, their defense is fine. They had 16 guys on IR. You know, I mean, you lose a Navarro Bowman, you lose a Patrick Willis. I mean, it was a perfect storm of things that went wrong for San Francisco this year. You go 3 straight years to the conference championship, you make it to the Super Bowl one of those years, you're bound to come down. I mean, it's hard. I mean, again, you look at what Green Bay has, you know, what New England has done is just off the charts in terms of how many consecutive playoff appearances that they've had over the past in the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick era. You see Green Bay and Mike McCarthy, you know, making the playoffs for a 6th straight year. That doesn't happen. I mean, those franchises are the two best franchises in football. You're going to have off years. I don't care how great your franchise is. So to me, it's not a big deal that San Francisco does not make the playoffs this year and can finish 7-9 or possibly 8-8, following 3 straight years of where they were winning 12 games a year. But again, you give up a coach of that magnitude, good luck in trying to replace him. That's all I got to say. Good luck. Again, wherever he goes, he's going to win. He's going to win. (347) 215-6180 is called him on this latest edition of Circle Review, 12/21 edition. Hope everybody out there is enjoying the holiday season. Christmas coming up in 4 days. So it's certainly everybody excited for that. We're going to come, when we come back, we'll look ahead to next week. We'll also talk about some other things that are going on in the world of sports. That's coming up and much, much more on this latest edition of the Silicon Review. We'll be right back. (347) 215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of Silicon Review. You will have possibly 4 division titles on the line next week. We've already mentioned NFC North, Packers hosting the Lions. Of course, everybody knows Detroit hasn't won in Lambeau Field in forever. Their lifetime, they're 0-20. We'll see what happens with that. Pittsburgh and Cincinnati will be a division that's on the line. Pittsburgh is 10-5 right now. Of course, Cincinnati is 9-4-1. I would have to think that if Pittsburgh were to sweep Cincinnati, that they would have the tiebreaker. I'll check that to be sure, but if Cincinnati loses tonight, then Pittsburgh definitely will be a division title, will win the division if they win next week. But I'll have to check. Depending on a lot of some, bottom line is that division will be on the line next week. Cincinnati cannot clinch the division with a win tonight, so we'll see what happens with that. Also, the NFC West could be on the line next week. Could be on the line as well. Now, if Arizona wins, then they clinch the NFC West. If Seattle wins tonight, then they'll be it'll be up for grabs for next week. So that depends on what a lot of that depends. That division will depend on what happens next week. One matchup that would certainly determine the ultimate winner take all would be Atlanta, Carolina. Atlanta, of course, took out New Orleans today. Carolina was able to handle Cleveland. So those two, you know, the winner of that game goes to the playoffs, the loser goes home. Both those teams, of course, will enter whoever, depending on whoever wins, the winner will, whether or not they, despite who wins next week, they will enter the playoffs with a losing record. Certainly a lot of people are not going to be crazy about that, but that's how it goes sometimes. These things run in cycles. Not going to go too crazy about that. They, you know, you have to play the games as they are. Somebody had to win that division. So still a lot to be determined by next week's games in terms of divisions, in terms of playoff spots. The NFC for the most part is all set as far as the teams that are going to be there play in the playoffs. Only one spot is up for grabs, and that, of course, will be between Carolina and Atlanta. Again, Dallas, Green Bay, Dallas, Arizona, Seattle, are all in the playoffs as of right now, all in the playoffs, and Detroit. So you have five of the six spots taken up in the NFC. Still, again, that last spot will be determined by depending on what happens in that Carolina-Atlanta game. AFC, again, Indianapolis, Denver, New England, Pittsburgh are all in. You have the last two spots will be determined by what transpires next week. Again, Cleveland could be – like Cincinnati's in a position where if they lose – I mean, Cincinnati could be out. Cincinnati has to win a division to get in. That's what it's looking like. Cincinnati might have to win a division in order to get in, possibly. Oh, no, they don't. No, what am I saying? San Diego is in right now. As a number six seed. Cincinnati is going to be determined by again what happens next week in the Pittsburgh game, in which that division could be up for grabs. Again, if you are New England, if you are Denver, you don't want to play Pittsburgh right now, to be honest with you, in the playoffs. I mean, Pittsburgh is going to be a very tough out. A team that has a lot of offensive talent. They don't have a vintage Pittsburgh defense, but again, offensively, they can score with anybody. They have all pros, you know. I mean, you have a great quarterback, you have an all pro running back, and they have one of the best receivers in all of football in Antonio Brown, and an above average tight end in Heath Miller. So Pittsburgh has a lot going for them right now. They're playing great football. Seems like they're peaking at the right time. Even the defense has been playing better of late. That's a team that you don't want to see again if you are New England, if you're Denver. Indianapolis is limping right now. They're going in the wrong direction. They really haven't played well in the last month. I don't really have any confidence in them going to the playoffs right now. Again, teams don't turn it on in the playoffs, in the NFL playoffs. It just doesn't happen. If you're struggling going into the NFL playoffs, the chances are you're going to be out early. So Indianapolis, again, not playing well. T.Y. Hilton, need to get him back healthy. I'll be shocked if he played next week, considering that Indianapolis has, you know, they're basically locked into their seed. They've won their division. They're going to get, you know, they're going to get a home playoff game in that first weekend. So probably give him a couple weeks to rest. And again, Carolina, Atlanta in a winner take all game next week. A couple other things going on in the world of sports, non-football related. You had the big trade on Friday with Rondo going to Dallas for Brendan Wright, a draft pick, and Jay Crowder. Again, I love the move for Dallas. I know Rondo, we all know Rondo is not the easiest to deal with in the locker room, but again, that is a veteran team. That's a veteran team that knows how to deal with those kind of personalities. Again, that just makes the West that much stronger. Dallas is now a legit championship contender. I didn't think that before this trade they were a championship contender. I thought they would just be a dangerous team in the playoffs that nobody wanted to see. Now they are a championship contender without question. You know, you get a guy who is great, who has been great in the postseason. Rondo, listen, Rondo's a player. He needs to be on a team that's relevant. Rondo is not for reclamation projects. He's not for rebuilding. He's not for helping out young players. That's not Rondo. That's not Rondo. If you're looking for Rondo to do that, then you had the wrong player. Then he will be a cancer in the locker room. Then you're going to see him get into it with his teammates or with the coaches. Rondo needs to be in a structured championship. Rick Carlisle is a perfect coach to deal with Rondo. They have, again, Dirk Nowitzki's a Hall of Famer. You have veteran guys on that team that can keep Rondo in check. Now, again, you worry about his free throw shooting down the stretch. I mean, shooting like 32%, which is just ridiculous. I don't even see how it's possible that a point guard could shoot 32, 33% from the free throw line. So that would concern you in close games, in the playoffs. But listen, he's going to get people the ball. He's going to make it. He's going to make the game easier for their shooters. That goes without saying. So to me, it was a no-brainer. Again, Boston, can't knock Boston. You know, Boston, they're rebuilding. They're looking ahead. They have clearly a 4 to 5 year plan. They have a boatload of draft picks from seemingly every team in the league, but mainly from, of course, you know, with Brooklyn and with a couple of other trades that Boston's made. So Boston's fine. I think, you know, now the question is, can Danny Ainge pull the trigger on these draft picks that they'll have in terms of drafting players? That remains to be seen. But as far as acquiring assets, they've done an excellent job at that. And listen, you were not going to get the kick and caboodle for Rondo. There are too many top point guards in the NBA where Rondo's value is not going to be that high. There are a number of big-time point guards in the NBA. Even on bad teams, you have good point guards. You have some excellent point guards. So you have that with the NBA. Kevin Durant gets injured against Golden State after having a 30-point first half. He's missed a couple of games. You'd be a little concerned if you're Oklahoma City about that with that foot. Other than that, Oklahoma City is going to be rolling, has been rolling prior to that loss at Golden State. So the Western Conference right now in the NBA is just insane. It has never been this deep when you look at what's going on with the West. You know, San Antonio right now is in a six. I think is a seven seed right now. Yeah, seven seed right now. So the Western Conference, just again, the difference between the East and West is, I heard a stat that, you know, the Western Conference was like, the top of the West was like 61-9 against the Eastern Conference. So that shows you the biggest, you know, the differential between the two conferences right now. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we'll talk about the Redskins' victory over the Eagles. That's coming up on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Of course, the Redskins, you know, snapped their 6-game losing streak last night or yesterday evening against the Eagles. Very sloppy performance out of the Philadelphia Eagles. Just a bunch of penalties. Redskins and Robert Griffin III did enough to win the game, deserve to win the game. I'm not going to go crazy on the Robert Griffin performance. He was okay. Had a couple big plays to DeSean Jackson. Also threw a pick when he tried to go in that direction again. You know, Gruden said some nice things about him in the press conference, but I don't know what do you make of that. To me, when you look at Griffin in these last couple of games, there's no way that in two games you're going to be able to determine whether or not he's your quarterback for 2015. I don't think that's possible. He can't be fixed in 2 weeks. It is impossible. So, I mean, to me, if you're the Washington Redskins, you don't bring him back. Because, I don't trust that he can be healthy. And, here's the thing about the Redskins. You can't have Gruden and Griffin back on the same team. Either you commit the one or you commit the other. If you're going to commit to Gruden, then Griffin has to go. If you're going to commit to Griffin, then Gruden has to go. They cannot coexist with each other. To me, that's evident. That's evident. Whether it's personality, whether it's fit, not fitting Gruden's particular offense, those two can't coexist, be in the same locker, on the same team. So either they commit to Griffin or they commit to Gruden. Both of them can't be back in 2015, and that's where I stand. That's where I stand personally. Again, a feel-good win for the Redskins. They played extremely hard. I thought Philly was extremely sloppy. Just mental mistake after mental mistake with turnovers and penalties. Again, the game next week is going to mean nothing for Dallas, more than likely. But I shouldn't say it's going to mean nothing. They could be playing for a possible home field for a first round bye. So I can't say that. But again, I question how hard Dallas will play that game, considering that they've clinched the division and clinched the playoff spot, and that possibly that they could be playing in the following week. But again, the Redskins will go into the offseason with as many question marks as they've had in recent memory. Again, to me, it's time for them to move away from Griffin and go in a different direction at the quarterback position. There's no quarterback, there's no quarterback in this draft that's going to save you. There's no blue chip quarterback, there's no franchise quarterback in this draft that you completely trust. Jameis Winston, we know the talent. You don't trust him off the field. Mariota, you don't trust Oregon quarterbacks in general. So, if you're the Redskins, again, that's why they're looking hard at Griffin, because they know the quarterback market is not great and they're hoping that they could somehow salvage Griffin. I don't think they can. We'll see what happens with that. But again, if you're a Redskins fan, to basically put the Eagles out of the playoffs certainly has to feel good. It had been a couple of years since they've beaten the Eagles, since 2012. Last time the Redskins ironically made the playoffs. So that felt good to put them out. We mentioned earlier about the Eagles quarterback struggles, not really having a guy that can take you to that next level, in Foles or Mark Sanchez. Again, playoff picture are still a lot to be determined. Patriots get in. Patriots are in first round bye. Packers are in. Detroit is in. Pittsburgh's in. And Dallas, for the first time since 2009, are in the playoffs. First time since 2007, they clinched a playoff berth. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Serial Quinn Review. Have a very Merry Christmas. I will see you next time on the latest edition of the Silicone Review. So long.
It's so sky. Like I think I'm